Welcome to the Sportscast, March 10th, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcast, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online digital radio. You can visit us on sportscast.net. Also, follow us on Twitter at the Sportscast One and also on Instagram. Also, check out our app, the Sportscast for iOS. NBA is coming to crunch time. We got weeks away to the playoffs. Couple injuries in Dallas and Phoenix with their new acquisition. And join us in a snowy day in Rochester, New York, Ryan Krista. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Yeah, it was good, yes. Usually the weather turns nicer here, you know, the NBA action turns heats up, but we'll wait for the warm weather here to come here sooner or later. But yeah. A lot happening in the association, you know, so I guess a lot more off the court issues than on the court issues, I guess you might want to say.
Yeah, a lot going on off the court, health, you name it, and of course, with the law itself. But let's first start off with Luka Doncic. He went through an MRI, was clean. He has a thigh issue that he's been hurting. He's been feeling a lot of pain. He's been dealing with soreness in his eye since the win over the San Antonio Spurs on February 23rd. And ultimately he exited the Mavericks March 8th contest with the New Orleans Pelicans early due to injury. Ron, your thoughts on this, and can he come back healthy by the time the playoffs come?
Yeah, this is interesting. So he played on, we're talking about an injury on Wednesday night against the Pelicans. So typically like most stars, when, you know, if any type of injuries that they play back-to-back, they usually hold them out. But the Mavericks, because of their situation in the West, is so tight that, you know, he didn't want to sit out that game. And, you know, he was dealing with the soreness. He, you know, it was hard for him to play back-to-back. So he went out, took the chance, played. And, you know, if you watch any of that game, you could see he just wasn't right, you know, and then eventually enough was enough and, you know, he exited. I didn't think it was a significant injury, but unfortunately it takes time to heal that, and the Mavericks and Luka don't have a lot of time to be patient with this, you know. I mean, we only have a month left of the season, you know, about 15 games. So, you know, you don't want to go on a losing streak because you can not only go into play, you could end up missing the playoffs. So totally. And, you know, when you make a big move with Kyrie, that would be a disaster. But you do have Kyrie, so, you know, Luka has to miss. I'm assuming he'll miss probably, this game's coming up this week, starting tomorrow night against Memphis. So, it's just got to heal. You know, it's got to take time. So hopefully, you know, he'll be obviously rehabbing, being off the court, you know, and he'll get back in the court soon and get the Mavericks back in their winning ways. It hasn't been smooth sailing since I've got Kyrie, that's for sure. It's nothing to do with Kyrie, because Kyrie's been fine, you know. Kind of trademarked these last months when they get Kyrie is that they fall way behind and Kyrie goes crazy in the fourth quarter and almost these epic comebacks. Happened a couple of times, but.
Yeah, which Kyrie had 27 points against the Pelicans.
Yeah, and a lot of them came in the fourth quarter. They were hitting three after third, and they had 10 three-pointers in the fourth quarter. Obviously, they can't fall behind, especially against a below-average team without Zion. I know we'll touch on him later on. They're in a tough spot, the Mavericks. They're not going to lie. You know, when you make a trade for Kyrie – yes, you bring in Kyrie, but they lost some assets. You're missing Dorian Finney-Smith, who was their best defender. Their second best defender just coming back from injury, and that's Maxi Kleber. And he's not right. You know, I mean, he tore his hamstring. It should be, pretty much a year-long injury to heal from. So, but they rush him back. They get him back in time for this stretch run, you know. But he's not totally right. So you've got a lot of players on the court at moments that don't necessarily excel at, you know, in the defense. So they're at a, you know, definitely disadvantage right now for sure in that regard.
Yeah. Which we can look at the standings here for the West, which things are kind of formulating a little bit. Nuggets are number one, clear favorite. Then the Kings at two, Grizzlies three with their issues off the court. Four, the Phoenix Suns. Five, Clippers. Six, Warriors. Seven, T-Wolves. Eight, Mavericks. Are you seeing any type of fluctuation, or is this going to be looking like what it's going to look like in a couple of weeks?
I mean, you know, you would think that the Grizzlies will keep on falling. Yeah, Grizzlies, I mean, 2 months ago were just on top of the West, you know, killing it. And that's why they've held themselves some cushion room, because they've, even before the John Moran instances, you know, the team was falling, you know, they weren't playing at the same rate that they were early, winning at the same rate they were earlier this year. I definitely see the Suns, you know, I mean, we're going to talk about Kevin Durant's injury, but freakish thing, but anyways, if they, you know, as long as he's not out for a long period, you know, I think, you know, when the Suns have him, you know, they're pretty unstoppable. You know, they have some issues with depth. So when Kevin Durant's not there, I think they're going to have some issues because they just don't have the players that they had before the trade. You know, again, same thing as the Mavericks. You lose your depth when you trade for a star player. It's going to be really interesting because you got a big jumbled mess there in the West. Besides, the Nuggets kind of just keep doing their thing, and I think they're number one. So really, you're looking at.
But even though they're number one, they've been there before, Ryan. I mean, can they get out of the West?
Oh, I mean, I was really just talking about how they teams are going to finish up in the regular season. But, they have to prove that, Santiago. They've definitely been a really good regular season team for years, and this is their best regular season because they finally are healthy. You know, Murray and Porter have been out, you know, for better parts of 2 years, you know, which really kind of helped Jokic become the player he is right now, because Jokic had to do everything. So now you've
MVP
got Murray
Jokic?
It's kind of this trending joke, you know, he's the most boring MVP ever, but it's true. He fills that stat line each night. You don't think about it, then you look at the stat line and you're like, wow, he dominated this game, you know. The Nuggets aren't that team that's going to get the big ratings on TV. They're not going to find themselves on prime time a lot, you know, because they don't have those flashy players, you know, marquee names. But, I mean, Jokic, Murray, and Porter, and, you know, Aaron Gordon, it's a really solid team. And, you know, they struggle. They're not great defensively, but I really know who is in the NBA right now. And they do struggle with close games, which is weird, but their clutch ratings is pretty low compared to other teams in the NBA, so that's something worrisome in the playoffs. But I definitely don't see them losing in any time before this Western Conference Finals, no matter who they play.
Ryan mentioned Kevin Durant. Yeah, he is missing. He will miss 2 to 3 weeks with an ankle injury. He suffered during a fall in a pre-game warm-up against OKC. With just a few weeks left, right in the season, Durant may miss the rest of the regular season and possibly the beginning of the playoffs. How severe is this with Phoenix, who have a thin lineup?
Yeah, it's weird, San Diego, I'm not going to lie. it was just kind of weird how it happened, but he's had some bad luck. He's the kind of guy in the it's happened to a lot. Yeah, they need him to play, Santiago. Yeah, you know, like I said, they made the trade. It works when he's on the court. When he's not, it's tough. If he's on the court during the playoffs, this team could exit early, you know, because there's only so much Devin Booker can do. You know, Chris Paul will excel when he's just, you know, distributing the ball. If you can have another scorer like Durant, you know, makes Chris Paul good. Ayton is good, but inconsistent, not a dominant force. So they need him on the court. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. When they're on the court, best starting lineup in basketball, they can get enough from the bench to make it happen. But without him, you know, they may struggle down the stretch a little bit. But they'll be okay if he gets back in the court, you know, with a week or so left in the regular season.
Which team is more of a loss, Mavericks or Phoenix? With Phoenix without Kevin Durant or with Mavericks without Luka?
That's an interesting question. I was thinking about that
because Kyrie's looking good.
Kyrie's okay, like I said, but they're not winning games. You know, I mean, putting up great stats. I think the Suns are okay. I trust the Suns players more. I trust the Mavericks players without Luka. And here's the problem: the Mavericks is that they've worn Luka down to the. This is an injury that, yes, it's sort of because his body is worn down, Santiago. But even with Kyrie, the amount of times he has the ball in his hand each and every game is crazy.
It's bizarre.
No player gets as much usage in the NBA as Luka does. And
very Kobe-esque.
Yeah, but the thing is, Luka, the way he plays, he's not physically gifted like Kobe was, but he's physical in the sense that he's going to plow into the paint. He's going to take contact. He's strong. So his every play, he's putting his body out there, you know, so he's going to be more prone to, getting these nicks and bumps, you know, and if you're doing it more than anybody else in the NBA, you're definitely at risk. So as the offseason goes, they're going to have to construct this roster. And I think a lot of people, you refer your teams as your fan base as their Twitter, because that's kind of the heartbeat of the fan base. And if you go through Mavs Twitter, I think people are at peace as long as Kyrie comes back next year, that this year is probably not going to be the year they were hoping for. And I think I talked about this a couple of podcasts ago. When you reach expectations quicker than you probably should have, and we talked about that with the Mavs making the conference finals last year, the Hawks making the conference finals 2 years ago, when you kind of beat the expectations, it puts some more pressure on you in the following year. I don't think the Mavs were Western Conference final worthy last year. And then, you know, you lose a player like Jalen Brunson, you know, now you're scrambling. Yeah, they got Kyrie now, but they're still kind of putting those pieces together. If you can get Kyrie to sign and, you know, you can get a good Kyrie for next year and tweak this roster just a little bit, I think this is a Western Conference Finals team going forward beyond this year.
Caliber, Ryan's shooting for next year, not this year.
I think the Suns are in good shape if they can get Durant healthy.
That is the missing piece in the formula. We'll see more Book or more Kyrie. Let's move on to Memphis, Colorado.
Talking Western Conference, I did not see this coming. I don't think anybody saw this coming. The Sacramento Kings this year.
Number two in the West.
Sure. Yeah.
Almost locked into the number two.
Yeah, yeah. Like you said, the Nuggets are good. They're kind of distinct in themselves. But the Kings are a fun team to watch. You know, Mike Brown kind of revolutionizing himself out there, you know, getting another chance at coaching, taking full opportunity. They built a really good system around, you know, scores. You know, De'Aaron Fox is, one of the fastest players in the NBA with the ball. You got Sabonis. Got traded for Keegan Murray, Kevin Huerter. Like, they built some nice pieces around this team. And frankly, I didn't see it coming. I knew they'd be better. I think they would compete for the play-in. But to be one of the most consistent teams in a very inconsistent Western Conference, much props. And, you know, in a conference where I feel like teams are fading a little bit, you know, the Warriors aren't what we thought they were. You know, the Grizzlies, if they can work out some of the off-the-court issues, will be okay for the future. I mean, and we have to watch the Nuggets play in the playoffs. The Kings are in a really good spot for this year and going forward.
Yes, and don't forget about Matthew Dellavedova as well for the Sacramento Kings.
He's being that great third string point guard for.
All right, let's go back to Memphis. John Morant had an issue about a week ago. He's posted on Instagram Live. He was at a nightclub. He had a gun on the side of his head. Got in trouble. He apologized. Glendale, Colorado police announced that this the home investigation took a few days. They closed their investigation regarding the video with no charges against Morant, citing not enough available evidence to charge anyone with the crime. Coach Taylor Jenkins of the Grizz announced that Morant will be away from the team for at least for four games. So they're still got to wait him out a bit. He's not injured, but some personal issues on the side. What's going on with that? Will he be back on time for the playoffs?
San Diego, no one knows. I think they're trying to just go. They're going through the proper channels because, I mean, there's protocol for this. You know, if he had a gun on NBA property, you know, he'd be gone for no less than 50 games because it's, you know, it was off property. Obviously, shouldn't have had a gun, but there's enough for the police department just to say it's not worth our time because nothing happened really. There's nothing there to charge him with the crime, but there is a way you should operate as an NBA player. And this is not the first time he's been in the gray area, Santiago. He had that incident with the Pacers a couple weeks ago. There's reports of him with like a teenage boy on a basketball court not long ago. This is a lot going on, you know, that I think taking some time away from the team in a clutch moment, the team is going to falter without him a little bit. That, you know, he needs to kind of reset himself, you know. I mean, this is, I think, a good guy just getting caught up with some bad people around him, I think. Kind of came in with a guy who was a high-character guy, worked hard to get where he's at. You know, he came from Murray State. He wasn't like this blue-chip, you know, guy coming out of high school. So he's earned everything he's got. But he's got to just work on his image. And I think, you know, there's, you know, and then in the NBA pregame show Saturday night, I just saw a video of it. You know, basically Jalen Rose basically said, you know, I was John Morant. You know, I was this great NBA player who got caught up in the wrong people. But he was able to kind of realize that, and he didn't have that ultimately that bad consequence. You know, what if something did happen? What if that gun went off and somebody got hurt? You know, then his NBA career is over. So this is a good time for him just to walk away, step away from the game. And, you know, the team can work through this. You know, they've said Taylor Jenkins basically said there's a process for him to return. And no one knows what that process is, but we'll see.
Yeah, there's something going on there. But without Morant, the Grizzlies did beat the Warriors 131-110. So they could hang in there, right, Ryan?
Yeah.
Tyus Jones, 22 points. They'll be okay. And, of course, Green had issues with one of the players. But the Warriors, they can't win on the road. Is this a problem? Is this a problem that they have in the past?
No. This is weird. I don't know. Like, it's just, I think maybe because the injuries, they haven't had consistent lineups. I don't know what it is. They better figure it out before the playoffs. So.
There you have it. Well, Warriors are in the mission. They're in the seed. So I'm pretty sure they'll hang in there, not get into the play-in. You don't want to go into the play-in. So we'll see what happens. Zion Williamson, another guy that gets injured frequently. No, actually, yeah, I guess injured frequently. Will miss the rest of the season with a hamstring injury. Poor guy, you know, obviously he's a future of the Pelicans, maybe the NBA, but just another injury woe. And of course, Pelicans are in, they're not, they're in the play-on picture a little bit, but your thoughts on that?
Yeah. They're hanging there for the play-in right now, but there's another team that was started off hot, and just when Zion got hurt, they faltered, you know. There's some good pieces on them, but when Zion's on the court, they're really great. So they need him back. The hope is, I think he might play towards the end of the regular season if all goes well, but it doesn't look good for that.
Not looking promising.
Is it really worth it? Yeah, it doesn't look promising. The point is, you know, I don't know. He's missed so much time, and you want to give him some playoff reps, but they got to make the playoffs. So it's a sticky situation. You know, he's another player, you know, he's just bad luck. I mean, some of it is, you know, he didn't take care of his body, but some of it's just bad luck. So it's,
yeah.
Our best of luck to him. You know, I want the best because he's a fun player to watch. And the NBA is better when he's out there.
Exactly. Another good start. A huge start up north. Let's go to Canada. Toronto Raptors guard Fred VanVleet was fined $30,000 by the NBA after going on a rant regarding official Ben Taylor after the Raptors lost to the Clippers on March 8th. He was cursing the press conference left and right. I messaged you this offline. What's up with VanVleet and the Raptors?
Yeah, it was just a frustration. I don't know. It's referee issues in all sports are tough, you know. And the NBA is a very tough team, the referee. And basically, he singled out this referee, Ben Taylor, basically, because he said he really has no problems with any other referees, and all the technicals come when this guy's referee. So I'm not sure what happened, you know, what the issue is between Mr. Taylor and VanVleet, but obviously, he started his press conference knowing that there would be, you know, repercussions for that. So I don't think that's any surprise about the $30,000 fine if you watch a press conference. And he just had to get off his chest, and, you know, I hope it doesn't come back to bite him. So he's a good player, and the Raptors are playing better lately. So
they're in the play-in picture.
Yeah,
number nine.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, the team, everybody thought they're going to sell off all their assets. The trade deadline, they didn't. They kept them, I think, just to kind of see if they can make one more run at this, you know. And I don't know, because to me, I don't know what the end goal is, because you're looking at you look at the West. The West is wide open. I feel like a team from the play-in tournament could make a run to the finals, Western Conference Finals. You take it East. It's so top heavy. If you're playing for the play-in, what are you playing for? Because you're not the Bucks, you're not the Celtics, you're not the 76ers.
You're not the Cavs.
So you're not the Cavs, you know. So what's the end goal? So yeah, I mean,
playoff reps. Playoff reps.
32-5, you know. kind of comfortably in the play-in, kind of a game and a half up, but they should be okay, I think. But at that point, what are you trying to accomplish? So
what is your outcome? Let's go into this session.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to win a championship, so you're now going to hold on to these players, and you're not going to get anything from them if they walk. So
Ryan, you're not a believer in dark horses, aren't you?
It's a fine line. GMs have a really tough job when it comes to trade deadline and keeping or rolling the dice, because you've got franchise players like Fred VanVleet and Pascal Siakam that they held on to. Now you keep them. Now you're stuck paying them a lot of money, and you can't really sign anybody else. So this is your core. But is your core good enough to beat these established teams? And I don't, right now they're not.
Quite interesting, the quest. How about the New York Knicks? I mean, I know they had a huge win against Celtics this past weekend, but is this a team to be reckoned with?
Yeah, I mean, they won like 10 straight to end the start of the All-Star break. They lost the other night in bizarre fashion to the Hornets and then got ran out of the door by the Kings last night. But yeah, they're playing together. They're playing both ends of the court well. You know, everybody kind of understands their role. They're definitely improving as the year has gone on. That's, you know, Brunson really stepped up his game, kind of earned. He's kind of outproven his expectations. Randall's playing well, getting a lot
of RJ Barrett quickly, the Canadian.
RJ Barrett's solid. I don't think he's a foundational piece, but they kind of cut quiet the trade deadline because that's a team that has good pieces and can build upon it and probably eventually compete with the top guns with a different situation than like the Raptors. But Obi Toppin, yeah, he's all right. He's a depth player, you know. So,
love to see a Knicks Hawks playoff game.
Yeah, I mean, right now we're I think I'm looking at the standings, and I mean, I really kind of pointing to the Knicks Cavs first round playoff game. So we'll see.
Which is not a bad thing.
No, good. I guess and that top four are very strong in that, and I would even say the top five of the Knicks.
High ratings. But
to me, you got three. You got the Bucks and the Celtics. When all healthy, are kind of differentiating themselves away from the group, and then you
they're the
got
elite teams.
They're elite, and then you got the Sixers, Cavs, and Knicks are very good, and probably could beat them. In any given series, probably beat the Celtics or Bucks. And then you kind of got the best of the rest. And, you know,
it's all bunched up together.
He can never put their consistency together. They go on these runs and then they'll go on a losing streak, you know. But
hey, when you have Haslam as your 15th player and is going to retire this summer, it's not a good sign.
Yeah.
With their roster.
He's basically he's retiring from being a bench coach.
Bench coach. Has the Kevin Love situation in the Heat helping them out plus or not much of a difference?
Neutral. No difference. Kevin.
All right. Chicago Bulls. It's been over a year now since the Bulls guard Lonzo Ball suffered a meniscus tear in his knee on January 22nd. Since then, the journey back has been a rough one for Ball with two surgical procedures and a number of backs keeping him from stepping back into the court for the entirety of the 2021-22 season. He faced serious doubt of returning this season before being officially shut down by the Bulls this past month. He is done for this season, maybe next season, but you know, this is very sad. Lonzo Ball, future optimistic, drafted by the Lakers. Chicago was really putting a lot of money into him, to get him. But your thoughts on this sad story?
Yeah, it is sad because you go back to beginning of the year last year, and the Bulls were one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. Lonzo was playing well. DeMar DeRozan was playing well. Vukacek was playing well. Levine, they had it all going on. It looked like, you know, front office put all the right pieces together, and then all of a sudden he got injured, and everything just kind of was gone sideways, I guess. Unfortunately for them, I mean, they really haven't been able to put it back together. But not good for him, Lonzo. Yeah, he's a good player. He's solid. He's above average NBA point guard. So they need him back. You know, I mean, hopefully next year he can get back on the court. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Interesting story. I know that his brother in Charlotte is doing a good job.
Yeah, that this is a really bad team though.
LaMelo Ball. Anyone could play there. Anyways.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Jordan needs to pull some of his magic there to turn that franchise around.
Exactly. Anyways, anything else before we head off to predictions? I know the Broncos made some storyline today and yesterday. They're going to cut down some vets. So things are kind of trimming. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's just roster trimming time, you know, right before free agency starts, and you're kind of evaluating which contract. So either, you know, you meet with a player and say, do you want to restructure your contract, take a lesser pay, you know, different your way you get your money to help out the team. If they say this is the contract I signed, and they say, okay, we'll just part ways with you. And, you know, that happens, you know, that's the business of the NFL. You saw that too, that, you know, Adam Thielen, who was a franchise player for the Vikings for a long time,
got released.
Basically, refused to redo his contract or get paid like a lower tier wide receiver. And, you know, they had to do what they had to do because what makes the NFL such an interesting business is it's a hard cap, Santiago. In the NBA, and you can find ways to kind of circumvent the cap a little bit by the way you sign players, you know. But the NFL, this is how much money you have to spend, you know. A lot of teams are going to have to make some difficult decisions. So
it is pretty difficult. We'll see what happens in Denver. And as Ryan said, Vikings release wide receiver Adam Thielen, Dolphins restructure Tyreek's contract, and a lot going on in the offseason. OBJ is available. Where should he go?
And I have no idea. I don't even know how healthy he is. Playing days might be.
He was hanging out in Dallas for a bit, so I guess maybe not the Cowboys all the way.
Yeah, maybe.
Which he likes the Mavericks, apparently. So. Georgetown fired head coach Patrick Ewing after six seasons, Ryan.
Yeah, that was probably 2 years too late, but
don't tell him that. The Knicks legend.
It's NBA players coming back to coach, you know, college hasn't always worked out well. Fred Hoiberg in Nebraska, he had some decent years at Iowa State. He goes to the Bulls, comes back, been not good for Nebraska. One really guy who has kind of done, I would say, above average is Jerry Stackhouse. I know it's not his alma mater, but what he's done at Vanderbilt, he's kind of keep him competitive. He's a unique mind. He's a different dude, but he's like Chris Mullin. Chris Mullin's coach St. John. I remember, so St. John and Georgetown, Chris Mullins and Patrick Ewing back in the 80s would have these epic duels. So they both become coaches of the team. And he thought these duels are going to last for years as coaches, and both are out after a couple of years. So it doesn't always translate for sure.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's how, like, the hand's dealt, things like that. Selection Sundays this weekend. Your thoughts, any predictions? What are your expectations?
Chaos. Always expect chaos, Santiago. Still kind of mourning the loss of our Liberty Flames in heartbreaking fashion last Sunday. Happy my Zags did well in WCC. But a lot of teams, you know, on pins and needles, you know, bubble teams, you know, some teams are going to be on the right side of the bubble, and some teams will be playing in the NIT. Biggest story of getting the most talk is how North Carolina went from the number one team in the country at the beginning of the year to, you know, solidifying their spot in the NIT last night at the loss to Virginia. So, tough break, you know, for them, but that's, you can't win it. You got to win in not just November, but you got to win all season long. So
all season, all the way till March. All right, sticking with this tune, yeah. Predictions. Number 22, TCU at number 7, Texas Longhorns. What do you got?
All right. The Texas showdown. I think and this is what my thoughts real quick about conference tournament. You got two teams that are obviously going to be in the NCAA tournament. Do you put a lot of merit into the conference tournaments or not, or you got to prepare for it next week? So when you get to this point in big conference tournaments, you got teams that are playing against each other, who are going to be already in March Madness. It's always a mindset. I'm always just, who's happy just to be in the conference tournament and who wants to win it. But that being said, I think Texas wins. I think they're playing for their intern coach, Rodney Terry, who's I don't know what Texas is waiting for, not to name him the head coach, because they've been playing stellar with him all year long after firing Chris Beard.
And March Madness does have a play-in portion of the tournament, don't they?
Yeah. So last, yeah.
No one likes to call it play-in, but it is.
Yeah. First round they call it. Don't call it play-in. They don't like that.
Yeah. Which I do want to cover this before we go. Actually, after predictions, we'll talk about it. All right, NBA, Cleveland Cavaliers at the Miami Heat. Who you got?
You can go Cavaliers. The Kevin Love revenge meme.
Oh. Well, we'll see what happens. And then finally, Toronto at a surprising okay Lakers.
Yeah, Lakers playing well with LeBron holding, you know, Anthony Davis is remembering who he is. And if he ever plays like that with LeBron, that would remind me of how they played in the bubble. So we'll see what happens. I'm going to go to Lakers.
The Lakers win in L.A., which Paul Gasol, number 16 jersey, was retired that night. LeBron did not go, apparently, for some reason. But your thoughts on the Spanish legend?
Yeah, stellar career, very fundamentally sound, solid both ends of the court. Him and Kobe were a great duo, you know, those years for the Lakers.
And actually, we have one more question, poll question. Who's your favorite Mario? Options are Super Mario, Mario Lemieux, Mario Cristobal, or Mario Lopez.
Mario Lemieux, my favorite all-time hockey player. Thank you. I guess.
National Mario Day. All right. That is all we got. Salute to Syracuse basketball coach Jim Boeheim. 47 seasons. Decided this is it. That's that. I'm leaving. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't think he decided. I think the university decided that. There's nothing easy about legendary coaches leaving their teams. It's like an awkward dismount off a horse. Like, it doesn't, it never ends well. You know, very few are Coach K's. I think Jim Boeheim wanted to keep coaching. The university said, no, we'd like you to step down. I think that
they had the assistant already in place for that, to be promoted.
So I think by hiring Adrian Autry, who was on the staff for a while, that was our compromise, kind of keeping their system. But 47 years is a long time, Santiago. I mean, that's older than we are. So,
was that longer than Coach K?
Oh, yeah. Coach K was in the 30s, I think.
Yeah, wow, so. 47 years. And which you've been to a Syracuse game.
Old Syracuse, New York. You know, made a name for the university and basketball program. Obviously, they didn't win a lot of championships. Only won one, which is, you don't take.
How can you keep a job that?
Yeah, I mean, you keep your job. I mean, you build a huge fan base. I mean, obviously, I'm talking to somebody who lives this each and every day. Syracuse basketball is a very big deal around here. But
yeah, they're known for their basketball, not their football.
Yeah, and bigger basketball. But there was a need for a change. I think, you know, fresh look on the program wouldn't hurt, you know. Hopefully, you know, I thought last year would have been a good year for Nash to retire after his boys graduated. But I think, you know, I don't, he didn't want to end coaching. But so, like I said, I think there could have been done more to celebrate his career and his achievements. I think if both sides worked out harder to make this happen, I think there could have been more of a celebration towards the end of the year. But is what it is, and he's done in this new era for Syracuse basketball.
You don't think a modern coach can do that? The coach for like 40 plus years like that?
No.
That's impossible.
The game changed. No. If you look at any of these coaches that lasted years, like, and if they start coaching right now, they would never last it. Like, Coach K struggled his first couple of years. If he coached now like that, he'd been fired. Like, it's just, it's a win now mentality, and you can win now because of different ways you recruit and transfer portals. It's a different. There's no building years anymore. It's win now, win now, win now.
That's not. Wait, wait. which is almost in every sport, isn't it? Kind of.
Yeah, I mean, every sport. I mean, no one has patience anymore, you know. So
it's that's why you have to have big contracts when you sign up for these jobs.
And I think that's why, I mean, this, I don't want to talk too much about football, but in the sense of, that's why you see so many coaches leaving the college football ranks, because the NFL is a lot less stressful, because you don't have NFL. College coaches work almost every day of the year. If you're not coaching on the field, you're recruiting. You're trying to keep your team from not transferring. It's tiresome. It's very tiresome, and it's wearing people out. And
There you have it. Basketball, football. Ryan, what is the best way to reach you online to ask you where will you be on Selection Sunday?
Watching it, Rochester Americans hockey at the Blue Cross Arena.
There you go. So you'll see the notifications on your phone on who, on no, who's where.
No, DVR.
You'll be DVR. Oh, that's right. You wait DVR. All the way to the DVR recording.
Oh, I'm a DVR guy. I will turn off my phone. That's what I do, San Diego. That's why I created it. Yeah.
I cannot do that. I cannot do that. Some way the news will reach to me. I don't know how. If I try to turn off my phone, throw it away, it'll come to me eventually.
I won't be that late. I'll probably be back very close to when it starts.
So what's your Twitter and your point of contact?
Mad Dog Report 18. Or Mad Dog Report, sorry.
Yeah. Mad Dog Report. You can reach us at thesportscast.net or thesportscast1. We'll be tweeting this weekend on Sunday on who's who, who's where. As Ryan said, it's chaos. Nothing's fair. One side of the bracket could be tougher than the other. I've seen this before. So we'll see what happens this weekend. Excited. March Madness is a huge part of March and April. All right, Ryan, I got to go. We got to pay some bills. Thanks for coming on and have a great weekend.
Thanks. You too, Daniel. God bless you.